Let's pray as we come to God's word. Such love. Lord, it's the greatest thing we can think about. It's the greatest thing we can experience. Please help us to know and be assured of your love for us, especially as we look at affliction and the cross of Christ and how it impacts our lives as well. Lord, please lead us into your love as we think about your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. The Princess and the Goblin. Maybe a fairy story you've not come across. About 150 years ago, Gordon MacDonald wrote a children's book called The Princess and the Goblin. And it tells the story of a little princess called Irene. She's 8 years old and she lives in a very dangerous place. But she has a grandmother who lives high, high up in a palace. And her grandmother says, "I'm going to give you a magic ring. Put the ring under your pillow, and when danger comes, you'll feel a thread from the ring. And if you feel a thread from the ring, follow it. Because as it tugs at you, follow it and it will take you to safety. But you have to follow the thread. You can't turn from the right or the left. You can't go backwards because you'll stop feeling it. You just have to keep following it and go forwards." So there's the issue. Follow the thread. Follow the thread. Well, a few days later, Irene's in bed and there's danger. The goblins are coming to the house. But she's got the ring under her pillow. And she hears them snarling outside in the hallway, outside her door. And she feels the thread and she knows that the thread will lead her to her grandmother and to safety. And so she follows it. But instead of, to her dismay, as she follows that thread, it leads her outside to where the goblins are. And it takes her to the goblins' cave. And she's thinking, "This is crazy. It's not right. What's happening to me? This is too dangerous. I can't go on following it." And as we read in the story, a thought struck her that at least she could follow the thread backwards and thus get out. But the instant she tried to follow it backwards, it vanished from her touch. Vanished. Now the thread does ultimately take her to safety and she does escape, but she's completely adrift if she doesn't follow its pull. And at one point in the cave, it leads her to a wall of stones. And seeing the wall and seeing the thread disappearing into the wall, she bursts out crying. And she realizes the only way to follow the thread is to tear down the wall of stones. And so she begins doing this and she shreds her fingers, tearing down the wall. Then suddenly she hears a voice. And on the other side of the wall, it's her friend, Curdy. And he's been trapped by the goblins in the goblins' cave. And he's astounded to see her. And he says, "How on earth did you come here?" And she replies, "Well, I've been sent by my grandmother and I followed her thread." Well, Curdy is much relieved, though I'm sure not a little embarrassed to have been rescued by an 8-year-old girl. But nevertheless, he starts climbing out of the cave and she says, no, that's not where the thread goes. I must follow it. And it goes further and further into the cave. And eventually they do escape and have a great adventure. But Irene has learned always to follow the thread because she knows her grandmother is trustworthy. She knows that the thread is trustworthy. She knows that she must follow the thread. Her grandmother's trustworthy. The thread is trustworthy. Well, if you've got a couple of hours spare, you can find the film in YouTube with Rick Mayall and Roy Kinnear voicing some of the parts. Now, can you see? We're in our psalm. We're in Psalm 119 this morning. Please turn back to it. Maybe you've got it there in front of you already, or it's on the sheet. For your convenience too. Can you see in our psalm this morning, in every verse, we're called to follow the thread. Because God is trustworthy, as I follow his commands, I will discover, verse 76, his unfailing love. Verse 77, his compassion. And can you see the call to follow the thread? Not to go back, not to go to the left or the right, but to keep following the thread. So verse 73, give me understanding to learn your ways, your commands. Follow the thread. Verse 74, I've put my hope in your word. Follow the thread in a world that is not, in a world that's organized without reference to God, following his thread. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous. Follow the thread. Verse 76, may your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Follow the thread. God is trustworthy. His promises are trustworthy. Verse 77, let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. God is compassionate. Follow the thread. Verse 78, but I will meditate on your precepts. I follow the thread. Verse 79, those who understand your statutes, follow the thread. And verse 80, may my heart be blameless towards your decrees. Follow the thread. Follow it. And of course, Jesus says to his disciples, follow me. And they've no idea where he was going. But they thought at least that they would be going from strength to strength. They thought, we've aligned ourselves with the one whom we now see is the Christ. He's the Messiah King. We're going up to Jerusalem to rule. We'll throw out the Romans. We'll join his cabinet. We're on a crest of a wave here. We'll follow him. We can have seats in glory, one on his right and one on his left. When he moves into number 10, we can move into number 11. And Jesus says, follow me. Don't turn to the left or the right. Keep trusting me. Stick with me. Don't turn back. Don't give up. I have to go to Jerusalem to die. Follow me. I'm sorry, Jesus. Yes, my disciples. Sometimes you'll say, where are we going? And why on earth are we going here? But I want you to follow me. Do you trust me? Then follow my thread. The reading in Mark's Gospel was the first of Jesus' three statements recorded in Mark, and we'll trace all three of them in our journey towards Good Friday. As Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem, where he will die, at the very center of the Christian message is Jesus' death, his unique redeeming death. For we are fallen and we need a savior. And he will be bruised for our transgressions. He will be led like a lamb to the slaughter. He will be cut off from the land of the living and his soul poured out to death. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' work is unique. There is no death like Jesus' death and nothing need be added to it. He died once for all. He died for us. And yet in Mark 8:31-34, he outlines the order of things. In verse 31, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. The order of things in three steps, rejected, slain, and raised. Rejected, slain, and raised. It speaks of his unique and substitutionary death, which was coming. It speaks of the particular work that he must do. And yet, this order, rejected, slain, raised, it's immediately given by Jesus Christ himself to us, the Christian, in verses 34 and 35. We follow the thread. Verse 34, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. He says, this is the order of things. This is my way. Follow me. He says, choose death. Choose the path of denial. Choose my way. And here is the issue as we follow the thread, as you obey Jesus' word. It may well feel like irony, that it's leading into danger. It's leading into the goblin's cave. And well, we can relate to Peter, can't we? When he says, Jesus, you're barking mad, aren't you? That's not the plan, surely. Not for you. Not for us. And there are times when following Jesus, obeying Jesus, following the thread, going the way of death, the way of the cross, can seem ludicrous. It may look like losing everything that we think is what it is to be happy, what it is to be safe. Quite often, it is. Here is Barnabas Aid. It's the March-April edition. It's a super magazine. I don't know if you get it. It tells us about the suffering Christians around the world, people who follow the thread. On the front cover, a forgotten persecution. The story of just under 3,000 Christian men behind bars in a prison deep in the Negev desert. They want to live as Christians, but the authorities won't have it. Forced to leave their own home country, greeted in their asylum country by imprisonment. This chap says, I'm a Sunday school teacher and preacher. I preach in the prison, but it's difficult. I'm continuously threatened and treated unfairly by the prison guards. A forgotten persecution. I was at a conference yesterday and there was a Pakistani female minister who said, what can you pray for us in Pakistan? Pray for courage. Pray for courage to stand up, because the church just feels weak, and that if we do anything, then it will be hard for us. If I follow the thread, will I not lose my happiness, my security? If I stand out in my culture, won't I be marginalized? If I stand out at work, won't I be in danger of losing my job? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian minister at the end of the 1930s. And he was safe at the end of the 30s. He was lecturing in New York. And he went back to Nazi Germany. Talk about into the goblin's cave. Dietrich Bonhoeffer voluntarily went back. And everybody said he was mad. But he said, I'm a German, and it's my responsibility as a fellow German to take responsibility for Hitler. As a German, I need to show solidarity to others who are in danger. So he went back. He went back to work for the overthrow of Hitler as a leader, maybe the leader of the confessing church in Germany. He was caught. He was caught and executed. And this is what he wrote. If it is I who decides where God will be, I will always find a false God, a God who is in some way corresponding to me, who is agreeable to me, who fits in with my nature. But if it is God himself who says where he will be, that place is the cross of Christ. Bonhoeffer followed the thread. And you may well say, well, that didn't end happily, did it? Hanged by the Nazis in Flossenbürg concentration camp in 1945? Really? That didn't end happily. However, hundreds of thousands of people have been inspired and changed by what he did and by what he wrote. And now he is in glory. Call that a disaster? He followed the thread. And Germany in the 1930s did not just produce Adolf Hitler. Germany also produced Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That wasn't a disaster. Here's the issue. Accept the adventure. Follow the thread. Obey. except the adventure of, well, turn back with me to Psalm 119, unless you've memorized it. Except the adventure, verse 73, of understanding his commands. Verse 74, of hoping in his word. Verse 77, of delighting in his law. Of 78, meditating on his precepts. Going the way that he leads. But be warned, as you obey, as you follow the thread, there is a dark cave. There are goblins. That's what we're told. Bonhoeffer followed the thread. But as we do that, let's see what will be coming. We saw it last week. I won't go back over those verses in the previous section. But we do see it in our section as well, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. The way of affliction, the way of the cross. As we saw last week, there are all kinds of people who would rather cut these verses out. They have a prosperity gospel. If we follow Jesus, we'll go from strength to strength to strength. If you become a Christian, God wants to bless you. He wants you to have a bigger house. He wants you to have a faster car. He wants you to have a more beautiful wife. He wants you to have a husband who knows how to put shelves up. It's going to go from better to better to better. But, of course, that's a false gospel. But follow the thread is to believe in the hope in adversity gospel, the way of the cross gospel, the follow me gospel of Jesus Christ, the rejected, killed, and raised gospel. The psalmist says here, the way that God really took hold of his life, the way he really knew that God was holding onto his hand through his life and leading him onward, was through affliction. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. In your goodness, I now know you are trustworthy. I've come to know how righteous are your laws, because through suffering and affliction, I've come to see your word is more precious to me than the riches that the world can offer. I've put my hope in your word. It's what Jesus said on the way to the cross. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Come, follow the thread. Come with me and die to the world. And in your affliction, know that the path is rejected, slain, and raised. Or is this too hard, and you wish to turn back now? The pattern of life that Jesus calls us to is contrary to the pattern of the world. The greatest sin in the world is probably saying no. We're told these days you can't say no to your children. It's bad parenting. We can't say no to ourselves because it will mar who we might become. We're surrounded by a world that says no to nothing apart from perhaps food occasionally so that we might be more body beautiful. But this fits exactly with our natural disposition because since the fall of man, we do not want to deny ourselves. Actually, we do everything we can to put ourselves at the center of the universe, which is the desire to be like God. So when Jesus says, renounce yourself, or deny yourself, or go the way of the cross, it sounds like self-harm. Why would I choose to die to self in a world that grabs everything it can? There will be some pain here. As Francis Schaeffer says, there are splinters in the Christian's cross. As we are surrounded in this present life by an atmosphere alien to the kingdom of God, Jesus' path of rejected, slain, risen indicates that rejection by the world must precede any possibility of knowing anything about the risen life. Rejection first to know about the possibility of risen life. And so this is our daily choice. Not a once for all, but a choice daily to follow the thread. These words are from Paul in Romans 6. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will also certainly be united with him in his resurrection. The way to freedom is through these things, not around them. Rejected, slain, raised. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. As we go back to the psalm to conclude, I have to say that there are times when we look at suffering that is born in us and we just shake our heads. And we say to someone like Jean, we hardly know what is going on there. To Gwyneth, to Janet, we hardly know what is going on. But nevertheless, as we look at this, we see the Lord working with affliction to get his word into us, to give us hope of his eternal life. The particular affliction of the psalmist was verse 78, the arrogant wronging me without cause. That's why we have Barnabas saint, so we can hear these cries of injustice, of other people going into the goblin's cave. For Bonhoeffer, following the thread, was going back to Germany. What about you? What will happen as we follow the thread, as we follow Jesus, a crucified Lord? Just three very quick things to finish. I don't know what time the kids are coming back, probably in about 2 minutes' time. Three things. Follow the thread because God is good. The little princess, Irene, followed the thread because she knew her grandmother was trustworthy. And the thread would ultimately lead her to safety. And similarly, we know that the nature of God is good. So verse 75 is crucial to our understanding. I know that your laws are righteous. I know that you are good and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. If I am afflicted, it's because he wants to make me more like Christ. It's not that he chooses that, but knows that that's the only way that I can be changed and purified. It's an expression of God's faithfulness. Yet so often our prayers are, please take this away from me. But no, it's actually how I learn. It's actually how I trust. It's actually how I hope and grow closer to God. It's very challenging. And the psalmist knows that God's love will be his comfort and his compassion will be with him. And how do we know that God's love and comfort and compassion will be with us? Well, because Christ rose from the dead. He was afflicted on Good Friday, but rose. He trusted himself to the one who afflicted him. And that's how I know that God's goodness will comfort me. So we follow the thread of God's goodness. Do you believe that? Where are you on this? Second, follow the thread because of God's creation. It's there in verse 73. Your hands made me and formed me. And the psalmist is aware that God has made him and is dealing with him as a potter deals with a lump of clay formed and shaped by him. And he says, well, look, you've done that work on the outside, but give me understanding to learn your commands. Shape me on the inside as well, Lord. Shaped by affliction, that I may inside me be changed. Give me wisdom and understanding in the inmost parts. Words that were quoted by Job, of course, Job, who went through many afflictions, at the start crying out to God, why are you destroying me? But by the end learns that his creator can be trusted. Where are you in suffering? Do you trust him because he's good? Because he knows you as his creator. He longs to change you and will remake you. But also, thirdly, follow the thread because of God's people. Verse 74 and 79. Verse 74, may those who fear you rejoice when they see me. And verse 79, may those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. When we see each other afflicted but trusting, when we see each other hurting but hopeful, following the thread, holding on to God's word, as I see Gwyneth with her struggles with her body, and yet to her, God is good. I leave and say, God, give me faith like that. We keep following the thread because of the encouragement of our brothers and sisters. It's why our fellowship is so important. Honest, real fellowship in which we can share authentically what's going on, where we can cry out together and hope in Christ together. So we've got these three things. God is good. God is our creator. And we have God's people. They're all given to help me follow the Lord Jesus and keep me being obedient, whatever I face. Let me close with a quote from John Stott. It's in his commentary on the Thessalonians about following the thread. It's countercultural. It's counterintuitive. And what a challenge. This is what he says. It's a wonderfully liberating experience when the desire to please God overtakes our desire to please ourselves. And when love for others displaces love for self. True freedom is not freedom from responsibility to God and to others in order to live for myself, but freedom from myself in order to live for God and for others. Keep following the thread. Keep trusting in God's word. Let's pray. God's goodness, God's creation, God's people. Father, thank you that in your faithfulness, you are moulding us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Help us keep following you, knowing that you are our creator. Help us put our arms around our fellow believers and enable us to be secure in this, before the storm hits us. And a special prayer for Jean this morning. As the doctors say, we can't help you. Lord, we pray that she would know that you are the rock under her feet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.